Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another Nerdist podcast delivered hot and fresh to your listening slits. Nerdist Podcast Live, October 14th at the Gramercy Theater in New York City. Also the 22nd in Portland, Oregon at the Aladdin. And also November 6th at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C. Then November 8th at the Iron Horse in Northampton, Massachusetts. Details for all that stuff are at Nerdist.com. Also the Nerdist TV special September 24th. Please watch it. I'm not going to beg you, but I will cry if you don't. So you can look forward to that later. If you don't watch it. But if you do, then you got nothing to worry about. That's September 24th on BBC America following Doctor Who at 10, 9 Central. That's a Saturday night. What are you going to do? Go out and hang out with friends? I never do. I watch TV. I'd like to thank our returning sponsor of the Nerdist Podcast, Hover.com. If you want to register a domain name and you go to some other sites, it gets super complicated. There's a lot of crap you have to get through. You have to hit like 50 clicks just to buy one. They try to sell you a bunch of stuff that you don't need other services. But Hover doesn't do that. It is just a dedicated domain registration service. They don't try to sell you a bunch of stuff. They just focus on making it easy to register and manage domains and email. You can set up email addresses, forward email addresses, redirect domains to other website addresses, create URL extensions, set privacy controls, and you do everything with just a couple of clicks. So if you want to register a domain, you need a new domain, you need a transfer domain, go to hover.com, that's HOVER/Nerdist, and then use the offer code Nerdist. We thank you and them for their support. And now this Nerdist podcast number 123, this was recorded at San Diego Comic-Con. I know, that was forever ago, right? God, July. If it was just right here, and it's friggin' September. That's weird. Anyway, this was super fun. This was the entire cast of The Big Bang Theory, along with creator and EP Chuck Lorre and creator and EP Bill Prady, and also Steve Malero, who's one of the other EPs. So this had the entire cast of The Big Bang Theory, and everyone was awesome, and the crowd was great. So I really hope you enjoy this. I was really nervous about doing this one. Everyone was so nice. It worked out great. It was fun. There's podcast number 123, the cast of The Big Bang Theory from San Diego Comic-Con 2011. I'll shut up now. Well, I mean, not in a second. I won't be shutting up, but I'll shut up now. Now I'm going to shut up shutting up.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
What's back on? Well, if it had a light, I would have known. Well, wasn't that delightful? And now, please welcome executive producer and co-creator of The Big Bang Theory, Chuck Lorre. Executive producer and co-creator, Bill Prady. Executive producer, Steve Malero. And now the people you really care about. The adorable Johnny Galecki. The very svelte Jim Parsons. Delightful and effervescent, and oi, I wish I had hair like that. Kaylee Cuoco. This next boy has such a punim on him, you could just eat him up. Simon Helberg. Oy vey, how do you pronounce this one? Ugh. Here goes nothing. Kunal Nayar. Oh, no, no, no. Nayar, Nayar, Nayar. Kunal Nayar. Next, a Jewish girl with a real PhD. I'm quelling. Dr. Mayim Bialik. And finally, cute as a button, Melissa Rauch. And your moderator, oh, you know who they should have gotten to moderate? Merv Griffin. Really? When? Oh, that's so sad. Anyway, I don't know who the hell this is. Chris Hardwick.
Hello, welcome to the Big Bang Theory panel. Hi, guys. Thank you for waiting. I know you guys waited. This room is jam-packed. Welcome, panel. How you guys doing? Everyone good?
Yeah. Hey.
Excellent. Let's jump right in. Chuck Lorre, are you tired of making hit shows? Do you wake up every day and you're like, oh, this is so boring?
No.
Good. All right. How do you guys sell a show about nerd culture before it was actually a thing that the media took seriously? Even as recently as 10 years ago, if you said the word nerd in a network room, they'd be like, too niche. So how do you guys do that?
I don't think we were doing a show about nerd culture. We were doing a show about people we liked. So.
Who happened to be nerds?
No, they were extraordinary people. Absolutely.
Is your microphone? I don't know if you're.
The idea was that it wasn't about nerds. It was about extraordinary people. And it still is. It's about great people.
Where did it come from?
Well, tell the story.
Before I was a writer, I was a computer programmer, and I worked with some terrific, wonderful people, and I told Chuck about them one day, and he thought maybe there was a television show in that. Amazing, wonderful people, and I think, you know, for those of us who are members of a particular group, sometimes we don't see ourselves depicted on television, and it was fun to be part of doing that.
And Steve, you also, I know you through geek culture. So what is your contribution to the show?
I was not there for the creation, but I've been there since episode 2. And right now the only thing I can think about is there's an episode where Sheldon is uncomfortable on stage in front of enough adults that can trample him, and I totally get that, so please stay seated.
So you guys are, Cass, we're going into the fifth season now. You've done four seasons of the show. As actors, you obviously have auditioned for a bunch of stuff. I know you guys have worked on a ton of other shows. So what did you think? Let's start with you, Jim. When you first got the script for the show, what went through your head?
I really wanted to say these words that they had written for Sheldon. You know, I've always said I don't know necessarily a good show when I see it. I didn't read it and know one way or the other whether this would work or not, or couldn't even think that way. But I did want to say these lines that he said, and I really thought that if I could learn them, I would be able to do that to their liking, and they did. They liked it, and they hired me. But that's what I thought. And I really, you know, like I say, I just wanted the chance to at least play him in that pilot, and then God knows what would happen after that. Yeah, but this happened, so that's good.
But how do you play a guy that, like, how do you make a character lovable that really has a complete lack of empathy for other human beings?
Well, I didn't think about it in that way, I guess. That's the only way I know. I didn't try to make him sympathetic. I didn't try to make him to garner any empathy for him. I think perhaps I've always felt empathy for him. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he's always seemed very human to me as far as... I guess that's it, maybe, if anything, is that I've never suspected from the moment I read his first line that he had any nefarious meaning or that he did lack emotion. This is just simply his way of dealing, you know? And so, I don't know. So I didn't ever see it that way to have to backtrack and change anything or put anything on it. I just, it is what it is, and it's, and he's a... He's a lovely fella.
Penny, I'm sorry, I almost called you Penny. I'm sorry, it's a problem. It's a problem. Kaylee. I'm just used to seeing your face on a TV, and now you're right there. Nerding out a little bit. What's the problem? Penny really seems to dig nerds. That's awesome.
To dig what?
Nerds.
Nerds? Yeah. You... Kaylee digs nerds, too.
Sweet.
That guy loves you.
Oh, my God. No, if you say that to that guy, he's going to find you after and be like, remember when you say you love me in the panel? I got this ring. You're in it now. You guys are legally married. I oversaw that. How's it been for you on the show the past 4 years? Can you believe it's been almost 5 years already?
No, I can't believe it. It's been an unbelievable ride. I can't believe it. I mean, when we did the pilot, I feel like we all knew we had something special, and... I can't believe we're going into the fifth year. They've given my character unbelievable growth, and, you know, she's totally one of the guys, and she has girlfriends now, and it's, I don't know, it's just been unreal, and we're just riding this wave as long as you let us.
How's your leg?
Did my leg?
Did a horse step on your leg? Is that what happened?
I think a horse stepped on Simon's leg. Simon, you want to take that?
Yes. I do make animals angry, so it happened to Kaylee. It was a sad thing.
I had a little accident last year, but I'm perfectly fine now.
Everything's okay now?
Yes.
Did you have a cast?
I had a cast. I was back to work after I missed two episodes, but I came back. I had a cast, and they kind of worked around it, and I hopped around, and they were great. The writers were great and helped me out, and it worked out, thank God. So
you can go back and watch the episodes where Kaylee's standing behind furniture a lot.
yes, there's a lot of standing.
And we all got to go to the hospital, and she said, "Oh, look how gross it is. Look at that."
Yeah, I was into it. Yeah, no, but I'm much better now. I can't believe that's been 9 months ago or longer. It's weird.
Mr. Galecki.
Yes, sir.
How's it going, man?
Hey, buddy.
I've known this guy since he was like 11 years old, and now you're a man.
I'm working on it.
Now you've grown up to be a nice man with beard stubble. It's adorable. it's so nice. It's just nice to see. Like, when the show first hit, I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome for Galecki. Because anyone who knows you, you're just like a sweet guy, and you're nice, and you've been working in the business for a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank
so how did you audition for the show, or did they offer it to you? How did you get involved?
I was doing a play in New York, and Chuck called me and said, well, we had worked together a bit on Roseanne, on the Roseanne show, and said he had this idea, along with his fellow Bill Prady, and I, and they hadn't had anything written yet, but he faxed me a couple pages a couple weeks later, and we started talking about it. And you never know if it's going to work. I mean, you know, you read something, you know if you like it or not, and I did. And you know not to be a complete fool and to trust Chuck Lorre when he says, this is a good idea. But it really wasn't until the first table reading when I heard everybody do their thing that I thought, now I get it, now I see it. And we might be here for a very long time, and I really hope we are.
Oh, I think there's no question. And by the way, congratulations on the Emmy nomination. Woo! I mean, both of you, Jim and Johnny. I mean, Jim Parsons, you got an Emmy at home already, so it's like old hat. Johnny, this is incredible. You guys are sort of head-to-head at the Emmys. Is it fierce?
Is the
competition fierce?
Oh, always, since day one.
Right.
Are you good?
So whoever I sit between them.
Like, if you win, are you going to show up, and then Jim's going to show up and go like, oh, yeah, whatever, and then you guys are going to headbutt, or how is that going to play out?
That's not the working environment we have. No. I don't headbutt. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Kunal, excellent Bollywood performance this season. Please, can you explain a little bit to the Caucasians? Because Bollywood is endlessly fascinating to me. I don't understand what the hell is going on, but I just know that it's awesome. Can you explain it a little bit?
It's really handsome and good-looking and talented people dancing around and making love in the rain and crying a lot. It's beautiful.
But almost seemingly out of nowhere in a scene. We're shopping and we're dancing on elephants. Like, how is there a...
I don't think I've ever seen a Bollywood movie where people dance on elephants, but I've seen movies where they dance with elephants.
I watch a lot of extreme Bollywood online. Oh, yeah, so it's a lot of dancing on elephants. Whatever, it's cool. It's no big deal.
It was really cool shooting that scene with Melissa. She's a great. There she is. She's a great dancer and a very good singer and very Indian in inside of her system. That's only dirty, but I mean like.
Yes, you did.
No, you know what I mean. Like, you know.
Mr. Helberg, how are you?
I don't have any Indian in my system yet.
But would you like some? I'm sorry, that was the obvious joke I thought everyone was making.
Well, we've already been there, done that, so yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, after my kiss with Kunal.
You know. How's it been for you, Simon? I mean, you have a you know, I know you have an improv comedy background. Is there a lot of improv on the set, or do you guys, how does it work?
No, I mean, how could we make up those lines? So we'd have to be insane. I can't even imagine how they're written down. So, no, we memorize them and we say them as they are and lean on the writers a whole lot. So,
Lena, is this true? Could you improvise some theoretical physics? Or
yes. Hold on one second. Okay. No.
I got really excited for a second. Is he going to do it?
I got nothing. No. No, I mean it's tremendous writing and I guess it's a balance of performance and everything. It's just a perfect storm of people. We're very lucky.
Is it true that you and Melissa have a kind of a Mrs. Wolowitz off? Is that true? I heard that they were dueling impersonations.
We have both done an impression of her on the show.
Yes.
So that's you don't want too many of those voices though floating around the stage. It's very terrifying.
I'd like to hear that.
I'd like to hear it.
Do it.
Your boss totally wants to hear it. I think you have to totally do it.
Okay. stand back, I guess. Howard.
Was that it?
Hold on. Oh! No, yeah, that's all. You got something?
What is this Comic-Con you're at? Is this some kind of sex convention I saw in 2020?
Oh, damn. Simon. Oh, face, Simon. She faced you. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I, you know.
Wow.
She's little, but she's strong.
It's the Indian in me.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you have a sketch comedy background?
I actually started in stand-up comedy in New York years ago in my youth, and then I came out here to kind of pursue stuff like this. I don't do stand-up as much anymore.
What was the impetus behind, like, what made you say, like, I think I just want to get a PhD for the hell of it?
I don't know if anyone says they want to get a PhD just for the hell of it. I fell in love with biology when I was a teenager, when I was still working on Blossom, and I really just wanted to pursue academia when I finished Blossom. I was 2 years out of high school. I did my undergrad in neuroscience, and honestly... Yay, neuroscience. honestly,
where are my neuroscience bitches at?
honestly, I loved academia. I loved what I was studying, and that's the reason many of us go on to a PhD, because there's not much else going on, and you like what you're doing, and you don't want to join the real world. So that's what happened.
Did you even have to audition for this show, or are you like, guys, I'm kind of a doctor?
No, I did audition for this show. I'm sorry to admit, I had never watched the show. I had heard of it, but I was told, well, they need a female Jim Parsons, and I said, who's Jim Parsons?
Thank you,
you're welcome, Jim. And so I Googled Jim Parsons the night before the audition, and I did my best Jim Parsons, and I guess it was good enough. And on my resume, under miscellany, it says PhD neuroscience, UCLA. And I believe it was Bill Prady who said, hey, wait a second, do you really have a PhD in neuroscience? And I said, yes, I do. And then I left, and I got the call that I got the job, so.
What you guys have to understand is an actor's resume, like, people lie about stuff on there all the time, and the other stuff that it says under special skills are, like, horseback riding, moonwalking,
Spanish,
Australian
right,
accent. Right. So, like, that's why that's awesome.
Well, that's where it goes. It doesn't go under TV or film. It goes under miscellany.
Are you able to consult on the show?
I don't know if I consult, but I think I get a twitch when a word is not exactly the way my neuroscience training would have it be. So I think it's pretty obvious.
I'm so turned on right now. It's weird. I'm glad there's a podium right here. I'll just say that.
Mayim helps out a great deal on Amy's science dialogue.
And with my acting skills.
And Kunal helps out on Indian things. Kaylee helps out on adorable things. I'm not going to do everybody because the adorable joke died, so I'm not going to keep going.
This was a big season. A lot of huge stuff happened this season. And I know there was a huge cliffhanger. Can you tease anything that might be coming up? Is that going to resolve quickly in the first... season, I mean, in the fifth season back, or is that going to draw out? What's going on?
You have a worked out answer?
Yes, we worked
good
out
for
an answer.
You.
Yes. Okay. There we work now. There will be a resolution, and we think whichever way you came down on what happened, you'll be happy with how it works out.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Second. Wow. That's so noncommittal.
We worked on that. Steve and I worked on that for a while.
Does the cast know? Does the cast know what's going on?
No, but no. I want this resolved as soon as possible between these two.
Jim, are you still playing the theremin, I think is the question on everyone's mind.
No.
All right.
But I really did enjoy that very much, actually.
Did you actually learn how to play Star Trek on the theremin? Oh,
yeah. Well, anybody who really plays the theremin would be mad at me for saying, yes, I learned. But I did, to the best of my ability, learn. I did that.
What other show could you see a smoking monkey and 25 cats and a theremin?
None.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly the right answer.
I didn't realize that was to me. I know I agree, but seriously about that, it's one of the best things I think we have going for us. It's like the basis of our show is brilliant minds and science. So, well, science covers just about anything. I mean, I just feel like anything they think of, they're like, we should have... I mean, we've had a time machine on the show already. You know, I mean, it's like, if you can think of it, well, they could probably find a way to fit it in. We can justify it. It's science. That's my feeling.
Listen, if you want to drop a TARDIS right in the middle of the living room. I know a guy.
What is that?
Wait, what's that?
TARDIS stands for time and... Hang on. TARDIS stands for time and relative dimension in space. It's a time machine. It's a time machine.
Oh, did we just get booed at Comic Con?
Yeah, that's a first.
That's the first time you've ever been booed
at
Comic Con.
Cuoco.
That was a lot of
You can't
of
get
initials.
Mad at her. Wait, you haven't seen everything that's ever been on television? Like, these people have jobs. What do you want? Just give them a break.
We saw all the episodes of Walking Dead.
We're gonna open up to questions from the floor for just a minute, but just really quickly, let's just go down. If you guys have favorite moments from the season that you remember that you want to share, let's start with you, Mayim.
My joke is usually that kissing Kaylee was my favorite moment of the season, but
really?
Yeah, it was pretty good. No, but I thought when Amy and Sheldon had their drunk kiss, I think that was my favorite part of the season.
My favorite moment of the season was also with Mayim, but it's not something that made it. Well, it is on film, but you wouldn't know what was going on. We had to do a scene. Do you remember this? We're sitting. I won't say where we're sitting because. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Mayim and I were attending an event type thing, and the person that. And the person that we were watching do this event, he kept staring at us, and he was saying all of his lines directly to the actor was, and it was really hard to do. Like, he'd stare at us while we were acting.
He was supposed to be making
I'm not explaining
a
it.
He was supposed to be making a speech, speaking to a group of people,
yeah.
But whenever they were filming just me and Jim,
yeah.
He wasn't pretending like he was speaking to everyone. He was looking
directly
at us.
He was just staring at us while we're acting, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to look just to the right of his head. You look to the right of his head, too. So both of us had to look over here so we wouldn't have to look at him straight in the eye.
We had to agree where we were going to pretend he was, though, so one of us wasn't looking this way and the other that way.
Thank you for helping me with that story, too. That was horrible. You saved that whole thing. Kaylee, you're next.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is such a hard question. There's so many fun moments. Oh God, there's been so many. I guess I'm selfishly going to name one that I was in. But I guess it was where I had a lovely man have to grab my ass in an episode when we were dancing. And he was a little older man, and he was so nervous.
He was terrified.
And he was so against everything he believed in. But I was like, honey, just grab it. Just do it. And he closed his eyes and just went for it.
Galecki?
He's dead.
It's a tough question. Kaylee's look to Kunal when she wakes up the next morning next to him was classic. Melissa had a line this year, I think it was, I want my baby to have nice things.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny.
And there was this the slightest lilt that was in her reading of it that was just straight pimp. And I couldn't get enough of it. Like, I watched her do it so many times. And you taking your clothes off in the restaurant when you're on the medication.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Man, you stole my favorite moment. I think the funnest thing was when we were doing the Bollywood dance, we had to learn how to sing the song, actually, and Melissa and I were in the studio with a singing teacher, and this Indian woman, and she was like, I was trying to sing the song, like, you are my heart, my universe, and she's like, not my, but my universe. So here I am in this booth trying to learn this song, which Raj is not supposed to be a good singer anyway, and getting, like, yelled at by this teacher who's trying to give me the right note, and needless to say, I failed at it, but it was pretty memorable.
Hi.
Hi.
Someone took
well,
their.
Well, well, well.
Someone took their.
Would you two like to be alone?
Is there a baby here?
I knew I'd find my soulmate at Comic-Con. I enjoyed wrestling with Kunal. On and off camera, I like putting a unitard on, which I had never done. Very, very convenient piece of clothing. It's just one piece, and I slipped it on, and then I got to, you know, shake all about. That was fun, and I've enjoyed working with Melissa a lot more and proposing and being all sweet.
Aww.
I'm so sweet. I don't
make
know what can
out,
I say.
Make out.
My favorite moment was my own sweetness and talent this year.
Melissa?
You know, I have so many. I was a fan before I came on the show, so I feel like I'm going to list off 100 of just fan moments watching these guys. But
oh, my God. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. That's not what I thought you said. I can't hear very well down here.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said, I was a man before I came on this episode. I was like, what the hell?
I did.
Do they know
say
this?
That.
Did the producers know this?
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. You can hear just you fine,
heard,
Chris.
You heard absolutely right.
Jeez. I'm so sorry.
Well, the operation's not complete yet, but it will be by next season.
There's That's no visible great. Scarring. Like, it looks good.
I took it too far. I'm so yeah. sorry. I absolutely love the Penny and Sheldon acting lesson. I thought that was fantastic. And there was also just that look with Kaylee and Johnny in... the New Year's Eve episode when the clock struck midnight and everyone was celebrating, there was just that moment that they looked at each other and it was just beautiful and it was such heart. It was really nice. Oh, and see, I'm a fan.
So
and then Simon, when he had that moment of worry when he heard the thud when Mrs. Wallowitz fell to the ground, it was such a heartfelt
Anything
moment.
With me?
Oh, when he runs into the.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Any scenes with me?
All of your scenes. All of your scenes. Every single one.
I wanted to have enough time, because usually they only allow like 10 minutes for questions, and I always feel like that's not enough, especially because you guys have such hardcore fans. I know that there are a lot of people out there that I'm sure have some awesome questions. So do we have the microphone lined up, or people ready? Oh my God, she's right there. Oh, you scared the crap out of me. I didn't see you sneak up like that. What is your name, madam?
My name is Jody.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, Chris.
What's your question?
Saw you last night. My question is for Bill or Chuck. You're going into season 5 now, and I just want to know, when is Sheldon going to experience Pon Farr? Because you got about 7 years.
Wow.
You know what that is.
You want to take this,
Bill? Yeah, I know what that is.
Right. Vulcan puberty. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, you know, Sheldon seems singularly devoted to science. I think only time will tell. It's biological. If he's actually Vulcan, yes, it's biological.
No, it's like that time when you fired his cells down at the Genesis planet and Sheldon reformed. All right, I'm getting nerdy. Sorry.
Penny will probably have to teach him that, too.
Oh, sweet.
That's a very special.
Hello, sir.
What's going on? I just want to say I love you guys' show. I just got back from Iraq, and that would help me get through the whole time I was gone. And my question was for Jim. I was wondering if I could get a bazinga in true Sheldon fashion.
Oh, well, there's so many ways to do it. But, I was going to say thank you for serving our country. Bazinga!
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello. This question is for Jim. After 4 seasons, what aspects of playing Sheldon are still a challenge for you?
I don't know what he's talking about a lot of the time still. That's challenging. That's what Mayim's for these days, which is actually sad but true. I feel like one of the ways in which all of us are so lucky on this show is that there's little to nothing that anybody's able to phone in, as it were. There's some version of challenge to every one of these episodes for everybody. You know, the stories stay interesting, the stories stay honest, and the stories stay very organic. You know, like the introduction, especially of these Mayim and Melissa and their characters this year. You know, there's 1,000 different ways you could try out somebody and see if they're going to work on the show, but I guess what I'm saying is that we keep getting things that are so organic to these characters and the stories that have not they just keep growing from that same place that they came from in the very beginning. And so that stays challenging, because the challenge for you is keep honest, stay honest. So I guess that's it. Still, just the challenge is to always remain true, because that's what the script is doing. So, oh, good Lord. Shh. There. That's it. No, but it's right. I mean, like, it's like what you said, there's no way you can phone it in. Like, when you're, like, I can imagine the Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock. Like, yeah. That must have been two straight pages of just you. I don't know what it was anymore, but it was bad, and it was hurtful, and I had to stare into Kunal's eyes while I did it, and he would just... I really, that's the most takes I've ever had to do of anything we've ever done, and Kunal would just stay there and watch me, and I'd fail, and he'd go, oh. And so it was. It ended up being a sweet moment between us, but it nearly broke me as a man.
Hello, what's your name?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, this is my first Comic-Con.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And one of the reasons was I found out you guys were going to be here. I had to fight to get the Comic-Con picture of you guys, too. But my thing is, I could be like Penny, not knowing all the nerdiness that you guys kind of do. So on the off time, do you pull any nerdiness on each other?
That sounds gross when you say it that way.
That's grosser than Indian inside me or whatever.
Yeah, are there nerdy pranks for actress Diane Keaton?
I see it. I can see it. Yeah.
She just got it.
Nerdy pranks.
Oh, come on, guys. We think of something.
I know.
It's not a very pranky cast.
We're not pranksters. We give each other a hard time, but I don't know if we're pranksters.
We make a lot of fun of each other. Mainly me.
Do you have anything?
People make fun of me. But we're not pranksters.
We talk a lot about our ping pong playing. We play a lot of ping pong.
It's pretty nerdy.
It's just pretty
nerdy. That's lame, Kaylee.
It's not.
It's not a prank. It's a game.
What is a nerdy prank?
I don't
prank?
Know what a nerdy prank is. Oh, Nancy.
Get your nerdiness off of me.
It's your first Comic-Con.
You'll learn.
You'll get better next time.
You'll think of better questions next time. It's okay. I'm kidding, Nancy. I love you.
No, that's the true her. That's what she's really like, Nancy.
The truth is coming out.
Oh, my God, I loved you in Annie Hall. next question.
Hi there, big fan. Question is, Sarah Gilbert going to come back to the show?
Sarah's doing a... She's not available to us. She's doing a show called The Talk.
Yes.
The Talk, which is a show on CBS?
Yes.
I think so.
Is it on CBS? Yeah. On CBS, yes. During the day. And you were on it?
I was on it on Tuesday. I was on it with Sarah, yeah.
So you should be a little more sure that it was on CBS.
I'm never sure of myself. That's the problem. But yes, it's on CBS.
Welcome back and thank you.
Are you dressed like Howard?
A little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
That.
Thing oh my ask. God, it's like you're looking into an Asian mirror.
I was hoping I was not going to be wrong.
Thank God
about
he said
that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, when he was like, no.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
He's like, who's Howard? What yeah. room is
this? Isn't this the Walking Dead panel?
Yeah. The Walking Dead panel.
Oh, wow.
It seems over the last season we've seen more of an Amy Farrah Fowler. And I was just wondering, how was she developed? Where did she get those dirty innuendos that get said on the TV show?
That's all me. It's all stuff I have in my contract. I need to
Your
be
Your question's
dirty
not
all the
even
time.
For me. He's dressed like me, and he's asking Amy questions.
Sorry,
all right, go on, Maya.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Maya is a very sexual actress.
Dirty, dirty.
She's just
dirty
girl. And you know, as writers, we try and write into the strengths of the actors. So, you know, full frontal nudity this year on The Big Bang Theory.
I think one of the difference that we talked about between Sheldon
and Amy is Sheldon missed out on a lot growing up and he doesn't care, and Amy missed out on a lot growing up and she desperately wants it. And so we always say the difference between Sheldon and Amy is Amy's game. Amy wants to have the experiences she didn't have, and some of them seem to burn within her loins.
Well, I think also this, you know, this speaks to one of kind of the subtle differences, you know, between the male version of what we see Jim portray and the female version. You know, I think there's a little bit of a suspended adolescence, possibly, and I think that's part of kind of the quirkiness. We don't know what's going to come out of her mouth. And, you know, it's obviously super fun to play. And, yes, I am a very, very sexual actress also.
Nerd girls are tigers in the sack. That's why you should date them. I know from experience. You don't know what you're missing if you're not. Seriously. Sir, hi.
Kaylee, hi.
Hi.
Are you dressed as Kaylee?
Oh, no. I know you've met plenty of fans over the years. This question's for the entire panel. What is your favorite nerd encounter?
I think right now.
Did anyone else hear that boy yoing yoing noise? Or am I having a stroke? You guys smell toast, right? Any other favorite nerd encounters? Galecki?
I can't beat that.
What are you talking about?
That's it.
Let's go back to Mime's sexuality.
When in doubt.
Yeah, so it's, which I can actually vouch for, as 20 years ago, my first screen kiss was with Mime.
That's right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do it
and
again.
And that's my favorite nerd encounter, right there.
Simon Helberg, I know you from Nerdy Things. We have a lot of nerdy friends in common. So now that you are on a show that is popular.
First of all, why would you do that to me? Why would you out me like that?
I just want to know, now you go to things, people go, oh my God, I know your work. And so, like, who's your favorite nerd out moment over someone that you were a fan of that was also a fan of you?
Let me think. I'm not as nerdy as you think. You really put a lot of pressure on the nerdiness that I take with me in
no,
my real
I mean,
life.
I just look at your clothes and your hair. And I, mean,
I know.
It's like it's so obvious. And that adorable beard, like, it's so obvious. I don't know. Am I wrong
that's
about
like
that?
That's like when I auditioned for this and they're like, perfect. You just do keep exactly that same hairstyle. And can you bring those pants, too, into the... no, I mean, gosh, who have I... I'm always just mostly surprised by, like, the variety of people that are fans, as opposed to, like, nerding out. Like, I'll see, like, I one time was parked at a red... Like, stopped at a red light, and this giant, muscular, tattooed man was walking in front of my car, and he went, hey! And I, like, immediately grabbed, like, an empty water bottle that I was going to hit with. He was like, I love your show, Wolowitz, Howard, are we having to see your mom? And I was like, oh my God, I, you know. I ran over him. And I thought this would be a good place to come out about it. I have a lot of skeletons in my closet. Yeah, so that, just to completely avoid your question, there you go.
No, actually, that is interesting. That's an interesting point to bring out. There's just the variety of people that enjoy the show, and you know, and it is, it's my tendency to peg it as like, no, it's a geek show, but you're right. It is it's a show about people, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's so successful. I mean, you guys, your numbers are huge. Is that it, you know, like nerds can watch it and norms can watch it, as I call them, the mouth breathers out there. It's nice. It's a good balance. Did you have another question? Oh, bye. Hi, step on up there.
Hi. I was wondering, why did you say that Sheldon's first kiss was with Amy Farrah Fowler when he kissed Leonard's mom in a previous episode?
Seriously, guys, what the hell?
Security.
What's up with that?
Wow. So we had a discussion in the writer's room about that, And there were two sides in the writer's room, people who felt that there was the difference between a kiss where both people participated and a kiss where somebody grabbed you and kissed you. So some people felt that that Leonard's mom didn't count. Some people felt it did. Some people said, who's ever going to ask? Some people... Some people said they'll ask at Comic-Con.
I personally, as an actor, count both of them. And I'm honored to have done both of them. I mean, kissed both of them. And then a child walked up. I'm so sorry.
A child walked up.
Well, this is...
She shrugged.
Well, you see, sweetie, when a man and a woman love each other very much, sometimes... Hi. What's your name?
Madison.
Adorable. What's your question?
It's for Kaylee. Was it embarrassing singing Soft Kitty and rubbing Babel Rub on Jim?
Wow. What an adult question.
Madison, one day you'll learn to appreciate that.
When a woman loves
it was
a
not
man.
Embarrassing. Actually, that was very early on. That was many, many moons ago. You must have been like one. It was actually kind of fun, wasn't it? Did you enjoy that, Jim?
It was fun, yeah. I mean, frankly, it was more awkward for me. I had to bare flesh. No, that was nice.
It was nice.
It was a good idea, writing-wise.
Yeah, we bonded Madison. Pretty quickly.
Madison, how old are you?
Oh, Madison, 10. You're so cute.
You're 10?
Yeah, I just turned 10 in June.
Double digits! Yeah. Is this your first Comic-Con?
No.
Oh, yeah. That was so serious. Oh, my God, you guys. Wait a minute.
So then wait.
That was that the intensity that you said that. You were like Hit Girl, like, no. Boom, 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 boom. That would have been awesome.
Nancy may have some questions for you.
Did you have another question, Madison?
No.
Okay. It was nice to meet you.
No.
Hello.
What's your name, sweetheart?
I'm Hadrian, and this is my first Comic-Con.
Is that weird that little girls have been to more cons than you?
But first of all, I just want to thank all of you. I've sort of grown up with this show, and it's just been so helpful, helping me find my way to the sciences. But I guess my question is to the writers. Do you think the show has been effective at kind of humanizing scientists, or do you think they've sort of become caricatures to some of the, I guess, norms in the audience?
That's a great question.
It is a great question. Well, the show helped you find your way into the sciences? then that's beyond our wildest dreams. A great thing that the show can do is to make it cool to come to science. So thank you.
Thank you.
It is important. I mean, like now, you know, now it's like there's hipster nerds and people say it's cool to be a nerd. But when I was growing up in the 80s, there was no irony behind it. Like you just couldn't, it was not cool. It was not a cool thing to do. And you guys have helped sort of open the gates and help people be able to come out and celebrate the things they're passionate about.
Yeah. We like to say that Cheers brought people to alcoholism and Big Bang brings them to science.
Hi, what's your name?
I'm Aaron.
Hi.
Are you sure?
You seem a little nervous, sweetheart.
Don't be scared. Oh. It's very bright.
What?
Okay, my question
Aaron, are you texting
yeah,
right
texting
now?
Oh, no,
she's texting.
I'm filming.
Oh! Filming.
My question is for everyone.
Are you knitting right now? What are you doing? You're doing a lot. My question. question is, does anyone know how to finish this scarf?
It's a tough crowd up here. Tough crowd.
Just let her get to her question so she can go yarn bomb something.
Sorry.
We're rough.
Who is your favorite villain? Like Will Wheaton, the guy that stole Sheldon's virtual stuff, or anyone else that was bad?
Will.
Will Wheaton.
Villains?
Well, I didn't understand the question.
She said, who are your favorite villains on the show?
I love the way I'm half Jamaican, mixed with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Even the girl signing is like, you didn't understand that? I just like to make her talk about herself.
I think Will Wheaton's the only kind of villain.
Yeah, Will.
Yeah, the only thing I would throw in, though, Will is such a great guy in general. It's always fun to have him on the set, so I want to pick him, too. But I really also enjoy, like, I feel like Will and Sheldon are truly adversaries, whereas I feel like Sheldon and Kripke have a problem with each other. Yeah. But I think there's an odd friendship and understanding there that could develop if they ever came back, you know, or whatever. So I'm torn, but I just wanted to mention Kripke, who I have an affinity for as well.
All right.
Oh.
And again, I want to save a hand for Will Wheaton, who's one of the coolest guys in the world. And if you... He loves it when you run up to him and sing the Stand By Me theme, so do that if you see him. He'll love it. He'll think it's hysterical. He'll thank you and ask you to do it again. I am the button queen! Oh, you too?
Yeah.
I was talking about me. What's your name?
My name is the button lady.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, perhaps someday the queen shall die and you shall ascend to the throne.
First, I want to say thank you to Jim and the writers for never answering the question about whether Sheldon is autistic. I work with children with autism, and Sheldon isn't autistic. He's Sheldon. But my question is for Mayim. I saw your What Not to Wear episode, and I was wondering if Clinton and Kelly are upset with how you're dressing on the show.
I think I break all the rules that they set out for me. No menswear, and pretty much from the waist up, Amy only wears menswear. Nothing loose, and she only wears loose. And nothing hideously patterned, and that's all I also seem to wear. So yeah, I do my best in real life, but clearly I think Amy is violating many rules of what not to wear. As are you with that button cape.
I'm so glad you said that. That would totally suck
this
if we just got pelted like pew 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 pew. Like just the button stick in your face. Pew pew pew.
And now you will die.
All in love. Just love.
Sir?
Hi. My question is for Jim. I'm wondering if you get like fan letters or like communications from people who have OCD or people who have Asperger's or from anybody in the medical community who says thank you or they have an issue with it or like what's been the reaction to that?
That's really interesting. I don't get so many letters about that, like in specific about that, but I've heard my mother is a first grade teacher and she has a lot of. Oh, I don't even know what they're called, but like people who work with, help diagnose.
Undiagnosed.
Yeah.
Is that your mom?
I'm not sure, but.
All we know is that.
She has people that tell her that they're, you know, there's, that they, I feel so weird
I can't help
suddenly.
You on this.
I know. Well, you're a behavior, you're a something.
Yeah.
People do talk to her a lot. I've heard her tell me that, you know, that I don't know how to word this, and I'm afraid of stepping on toes or sounding inappropriate, and that's a ridiculous way to live.
that to see someone, Sheldon, functioning in the world for some reason. But back to Button, Madam. Sheldon is just Sheldon, you know, at the end of the day. And so, and what I like about that is that it does take away some of this responsibility that I apparently can't handle as I'm sweating and squirming up here. So, thank you. I'm digressed. I guess that was all I had to say.
You win this round, Button Lady! But the war shall be mine!
We have time for one more question.
Aww.
Aww.
Oh my God. Hey, this better be awesome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Just wondering, what do you have in common with your characters?
Every year, we get asked this question. No. Just because I'm foreign, people don't understand my intonation.
Okay.
Did you say, just because I'm foreign, make a donation? That's what I was saying. That is rude. To ask
I have nothing people. Else.
I live next door to people.
Oh my God, that must be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Melissa?
Both myself and Bernadette are both really short.
I have that in common with your character too.
I would almost say there's very little. I do have an affinity for, clothes sometimes, but I hope they're a little cooler and looser than the clothes I have to wear on the show. I think of Howard as a romantic and just a very bad one, and I can relate to that. But not with the aggressive... No, I do well for myself. But it's just a struggle. Every day, it's a struggle.
Did everyone answer that one?
Not only because I happen to be a neuroscientist and they made my character a neurobiologist, but I don't know. Jim likes to say I am truly the nerdiest person, I think, on our cast.
That's not what I say. I said you're the smartest person in the cast.
I think I appreciate that.
You're the only one that can help with dialogue just off the top of her head.
So what I was going to say is, speaking as a person who actually, grew up speaking nerd science, geek language, I think the things for me about my character that that make her a good neurobiologist are kind of, things in me. I'm fastidious and I'm meticulous and I like words. I'm careful with words. So I like to represent sort of that form of brainy girl. So I guess that's pretty much me.
Yeah. I really understand Sheldon's whole thing with germs. I'm not quite as bad at that, but as he would say, I don't want your germy breath on me either, And that's that.
Well, I think we're just about at the end of the panel, but I want to thank you guys for coming out and waiting and supporting the show. The new season of Big Bang Theory is September 22nd. Please help me in thanking Mr. Chuck Lorre, Bill Brady, Steve Malero, Mayim Bialik, Jim Parsons, Kaylee Cuoco.
So much. Thank you, guys.
There's
thank
Johnny
Galecki so
down
thank
there.
Thank you, guys.
Sam Helper, and Melissa Rauch. Thanks so much, everyone, for coming out. See you this weekend.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to HOVER.com/Nerdist.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge. And also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on Station 9.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.